Welcome to another edition of the Renegades podcast. Have you ever felt trapped or locked in your own business? Dave Dean and Steve Matthews sit and talk about all things business and the Renegade path. So settle in and enjoy this edition of the Renegade podcast and free yourself from the prison of your business.
Podcast time. Podcast. We've just spent the last 25 minutes waiting for Dave Dean to put all his gadgets on silent. So Watch on silent. Everything on silent. Watch, iPad. Everything's on silent.
Yeah, it is a little bit crazy now, isn't it? I am a bit of an Apple fight. Is that what do they call people?
I don't know if that's a word or not, actually. But
I've just invented it. It's a word now.
We both are, actually.
An Apple fight.
All Apple. Everything's Apple all the time.
Yeah.
So how's things, Dave? Good?
Oh, good. Good. A restful weekend after a very intensive 3 days.
Yeah, well, that's probably what we're going to talk about today, I guess. So,
well, we could talk a little bit about rugby first, I suppose.
No, let's not talk about
rugby. Wales losing is not a good thing. No. England lost as well, mate.
Yeah. That's the trouble with Wales. We're always happy when England lose. So what's the point of that? We could lose every game. As long as England lose one game a year, we'd be happy. But what's the point of that?
It's not good. No. I remember my grandfather saying to me once that you should only support two teams, Wales and anyone who's playing against England.
Yeah.
And of course, when you got that psychology early on when you're a young lad, it kind of lives in with you.
Yeah.
But I have to say, of course, I've got many, many English friends, thankfully, which means that it's not a loss. Even a loss to England these days is not as bad as it used to be.
Well, as I say, we've just turned off every single English podcast listener. But I live in England half the week, so
exactly.
I can't say.
And plenty of lads in the group are English as well. So we're not racist at all, Steve.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you mentioned that we had our mastermind last week, our group session, if you like, or summit, which is for the first quarter of this year. Excellent 3 days.
It was very tiring.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, kicking off at 8 o'clock and running out of time at the end of the day. So normally we set aside an hour or two at the end of the day for personal reflection.
Yeah.
And enough to say that the days were so intensive that we ended up going straight from the meeting room into the restaurant for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, literally no time for personal reflection, which then left a very intensive weekend to catch up on that reflection.
Maybe we should. There's lots of different people selling masterminds or got masterminds, and I think there's loads of different versions of it. I mean, you think about the John Maxwell team, JMT masterminds. I mean, they are book chapter reviews, really,
yes,
aren't they? They're very good. Yeah. They're great thing. I mean, they pick a book, one of John's books, and then they meet and they talk through maybe one or two chapters and what can be learned from them. So,
yeah,
you know, they go deep on sort of some of John's teachings. And lots of people then have property masterminds and you know, wealth masterminds. But in the true sense of the word, what we try to do here at Renegades is be true to, I guess, Napoleon Hill's version of the mastermind.
Mm.
So maybe we should tell everybody a little bit about that and what we do. Because what did Gavin say? Gavin's wife says, "You're off to meet your woo-woo clan." Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Lee Johnson actually used to say that his wife used to call us the Moomins. Or was it? No, it wasn't. It was Michael Kotler, actually. It's Michael's wife used to call the group the Moomins. It's... I suppose for those who don't experience this process, it can be a very strange thing. It does lead to people being a little bit surprised, and perhaps maybe at some level this is about, you know, showing up a mirror to people, because we all want that success, don't we? We all want success, but as John Maxwell says, you know, lots of people have uphill desires but downhill habits. And as we know, anything of any value is uphill. So going back to the our summits,
yeah.
really, as you pointed out, right, there are masterminds for all over the world. There are masterminds for particular reasons, whether it be property, money, a specific sector of business. What we try to do with Renegades is we make the mastermind about the individual. We make it about the business they have. Their what are we all about? You know, we're about three things, right? We want to create freedom for the individual, whatever it looks like to them. We want to create freedom from their business. We want to create personal wealth, and we want to create choice. We want them to be able to choose between working all day every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week in their business, or being able to step back, as we've said this before, you know, pick up the phone, ring their staff and say, hey, it's me, we're taking off for a few weeks, a couple of months, look after the place, I'll see you when I get back, and not have to worry about it. And so really, in order for that to happen, we've got to help people fall in love with their business again. And if you think about it, it's what happens, right? You and I, Steve, you know, we've been there, so we've experienced this. When you've got past the honeymoon stage of running your business, you know, when you set something up new, it's exciting, it's fresh, it's new. A few weeks into it, you're still quite excited. A few months into it, that excitement's starting to wane because you're starting to hit some brick walls. Different things are happening. Sales issues, staff issues, morale issues. There are all sorts, you know, the taxes, there are compliance issues. All businesses have them. And the owner starts to get a little bit jaded. Starts to get a little bit stressed. And a year goes by and that stress starts to creep in. Maybe it's manifesting itself in the way they behave. Maybe they're less inclined to jump out of bed, rush to work. A few years in, they're starting to get really jaded, and now they're beating up their staff. They're beating up their maybe not physically, but verbally.
Yeah, better explain that one.
Yeah. So maybe not
what happens in Dave Dean's business.
not quite. But you know, yeah, mentally, you're beating up your suppliers, you're beating up your staff, you're beating up your customers. You may be even really ragging on your family, you know, because you're stressed out, and the slightest thing triggers off a bit of frustration and stress, and that stress can manifest itself in a number of ways. And so they kind of fall out of love with their business, but by this time they're trapped because they've got debts, they've borrowed money to set their business up, they're funding the repayments through the business, and to walk away from it, they walk into a pot of debt. And very often then it's that debt that makes business owners feel trapped. So they feel like they can't make a decision anymore. And now that they've fallen even less in love with their business because they resent the fact that they're trapped. Before, if they didn't like the job they were in, they could move to another company.
Mm.
If you don't like the business you're in, it's 10 times, 100 times harder to walk away.
Mm.
And so people really fall out of love. So I guess what we're doing in Renegades is we're helping people to regain that love for their business and to start working on the business in a way that it develops independently of them. And so from the masterminding process, and I know this is a long answer to your question, Steve, but bringing that right back to your question, Renegade Masterminds, our focus is on business and the individual. So those two combined, it's on the individual in order that they release themselves, they gain that, they escape, if you will, from the shackles of the business, thereby releasing, not just releasing them from the business, but the business from them. And yeah, so our masterminds are, I guess, pretty focused. They follow the principles set out by Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, and we follow a fairly formulaic process, but it's formulaic with flexibility, if that's not a contradiction in terms. So we follow a formula in terms of the events themselves. 3 days, 10 people in a room, 9 members of the group plus the leader. Each member gets 2 to 2.5 hours where we focus specifically on their business. They get an opportunity in the first 20 minutes or so to speak into their accountabilities from the last time we met. They update the group, they talk into what they've done, how things have changed for them, what were the outcomes from the accountabilities. Did they find that in following through on the accountability, it turned out that actually something else needed to be done? So a lot comes out of that, and sometimes that 20-minute, this is what's going on in my life conversation extends to 30 or even 40 minutes. But then the rest of that session, it gives the opportunity for the rest of the group to speak into the opportunities and the challenges that the individual member has brought up. And there can be some really powerful, as we've just experienced, some incredibly powerful conversations that come out of that.
Yeah, and I think it's sometimes difficult to put into words what it is and what it does for you. For example, I was you mentioned the rugby. I was out with a really good friend of mine, another business owner, and he said to me, "Where you been last 3 days?" And I said, "I've been with in my entrepreneurs group." "What's that about?" I said, "Well, we get together, we talk about opportunities and issues and discuss it in the group, and we, why did you do that?" And, you know, and I think when you get a sniff of the negativity that normal business owners fire back at you,
yep,
you kind of get a little bit defensive.
Mm.
So, you know, this is the reason why I wanted to talk about it today, and the fact of not many times before I was part of a mastermind process did I have the opportunity to spend time working on my business, not in it.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I mean, as a business owner, when you're up to your nuts and guts, as the old saying goes, when you're right up to your eyeballs in the brown stuff, trying to make it work, trying to make money, chasing suppliers, trying to, you know, chasing deals that you've got out there, trying to make money, trying to pay the mortgage, trying to give security to everybody, your staff and your family, you spend all day working in the business, just doing the do.
Mm.
Whereas when we go away for 3 days, you can't be, you know, with no phones, there's,
yep,
no email.
Yep.
So we spend 3 days in a room with 10 other business owners, and you have to, it forces you to think into your business and your opportunities, your, you know, your pinch points, your frustrations, and it gives you a lot of time to be able to put things into some sort of context and put an action plan in place to sort of relieve some of the issues you may be having.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's the easiest way to put it. It's 3 quality days working on the business and not in it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, and the old saying, you know, that an old friend of ours used to say all the time, it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it is.
Yeah. How many times have we had people come in that room and say, "I've got this massive frustration, it's really causing me sleepless nights, I can't see my way out of it," and within 5 minutes someone has gone bang, "Have you thought about doing that?" And all of a sudden you're like, "Oh God, didn't see that."
Yeah.
And to elaborate on some of the, you know, one of the things you said, you know, we sit in a room, and I did a video blog last week, which is quite interesting, actually. And what I wanted to get across was, what is a mastermind? Why did I involve in it? And most importantly, what are the people like that are with me on it? Because, you know, a lot of people would think of us as maybe, you know, some sort of cult or a freak or something like that, whatever, to go into that. But just normal people running normal businesses.
Yeah.
You know, and it, and
making normal mistakes.
Yeah, and but the personalities of us all.
Mm.
You know, because we all got good personalities. We all like a laugh. We all like a beer. We all like to eat because we do a lot of eating. But we all like to spend time in each other's company.
Mm.
So it's 3 days with quality people working on you and your business. And I think that's in its essence. Forget about the process. In its essence, that's what it is, though, isn't it? 3 days with 10, with 9 other quality people all trying to help you and your business.
Yeah. No, you're right.
What's not to like about that?
You're right. We do, we face challenges every day, don't we, of the business. And as I mentioned earlier, we tend to be buried in the doing and very rarely in the thinking. And that's the biggest problem. You know, we are, the business that we run is limited to the thinking that we bring to it. And if we don't give ourselves time to think, and who was it? Was it? I can't remember if it was Henry Ford said 95%. Was it? How does it go? 95% of the people. No, 5% of the people think.
Yeah.
90% of the. No, 10%. Oh my God, you know what? I'm going to get this wrong.
Think, start again.
5% of people think.
Yeah.
10% of people think they think. And 85% of people would rather die than think.
Yeah, that'd be true.
And it's clear in business these days that those statistics, whilst they may not be absolutely perfect, it's not far off, because the number of times that we go through our working days and realise that so much dumb shit goes on, you think, well, you say to them, well, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
When you did this, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
And clearly, very often, they're not.
No. And I was going to say about, you mentioned there about some of the, you know, the formalities, if you like, or how we run it. So, I mean, we sit on a pretty much round table, because there's no head at the table.
Absolutely.
Everybody's equal.
Yeah.
And you get an allotted time slot.
Mm-hmm.
We actually allot 2 hours, but it normally is definitely
never
three.
Ever.
And in, funny enough, we tried to cut it down this summit by, you know, saying don't repeat and all that, but everybody was 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I would have prepped the day before, and I did. I prepped the day before to update everybody on what I've done since the last. So my accountabilities from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do them? If I didn't do them, why I didn't do them? There might have been a genuine reason. It might just be I was a lazy bastard and didn't bother doing them. But at least I could feed back. Then I would think about what's going on at this moment in time, personally, work, you know, what challenges I have. And then I would ask at the end of the update what I wanted to leave the session with.
Yeah.
So on this particular time, I had a particular opportunity I wanted to talk into. So I wanted some ideas on a marketing strategy for that idea that I had. So that was mine, you know, so I'm happy to share that with everybody. It doesn't bother me. And then what happens then is everybody gets a chance. Everybody around the table gets a chance. We have what we call the phallic mic. So it's basically not a microphone. It looks like a microphone, but we literally put it in front of us. And if that's in front of you, it's your time to talk and everybody's time to listen. So everybody gets their turn with the microphone or the phallic mic. And then they have an opportunity to speak for as long or as short as they want into what I've just said and feedback on what I want to leave with. So give me their ideas, how I could flip it in a certain way. And then the power that comes from that, because it passes on from one person. So for example, if Dave was to speak first and come up with some ideas, then another member of the group like Ash goes next, then Ash would spin off what Dave has just said.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as it goes round the table, by the time it gets to the last person then has had eight other ideas or different, if you like, opportunities to see what other people are thinking. They may have made their own mind up right at the start, but so for me, as a person who's sitting in the theoretical hot seat, I now have 9 business owners that are talking into the issues that I've experienced or the opportunities that I'm seeing, the challenges in the business. They have the opportunity to speak into that and to give me the feedback for the thing that I've asked them for at the start. So they're able to give me my marketing ideas. Have I tried Google AdWords, Facebook advertising, Blumpy Mail, whatever that may be. And then at the end of it, everybody then, so for example, because Dave spoke first, by the time it gets back round to everybody's finished, Dave might have thought, yeah, I need to add something. So we just have a little bit of a quick 5 minutes where everybody can just say, oh yeah, I like what so-and-so said, I think you should pick up on that. But then at the end of the session, just before we close the session, the leader of the group, which is obviously Dave in this case, he asked me give me 3 to 5 things that you're going to do by next time. Now that is the secret sauce for me.
Yep.
Because as a business owner, nobody holds me accountable. Apart from me, nobody really holds me accountable. And I think it's one of the most powerful things about any sort of mastermind group or coaching relationship is the accountabilities. Because how many times do we have meetings or go on a particular course or read a particular book, say it was amazing, then do nothing with it. Mm. And the reason we don't, nobody holds you accountable.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you and said, you've just read that book, now great. What are you going to implement? When are you going to implement it by? And feedback on it. Now all of a sudden that book becomes different. You may have to read it 2 or 3 times. You only pick a part that's really relevant for you, and then you've got to spend time implementing that thing. And for me, I don't know about you, Dave, but the accountabilities for me is the key, isn't it?
It is. You're absolutely right, Steve. Secret sauce, if you will, is usually when you hear the phrase secret sauce, there's a number of ingredients and. You're right, accountability is absolutely the key aspect to being in a mastermind group. If there were no accountability, then this wouldn't be called a mastermind, it would be called a meeting. Yeah. And how many meetings have you been in where you've left them frustrated? Because I've been in meetings with some very large companies, PLCs, and 20 people in the meeting. Yeah. Agenda flawed. At best,
loose.
Non-existent at worst. Everybody leaves the meeting, no list of actions, no accountabilities, and in fact it led us, we built an app in WebFiber called Meets, where the idea is that this device is passed around the room at the beginning of a meeting and everybody types in their salary, no names, so it's confidential, everybody types in their salary. And by the time it gets to the end of the room, you've got a pretty good idea of the annual salary of the people around the room. Yeah. Then you put the phone in the middle of the room, and every now and again you hear a ping when you've spent £100. Yeah. You imagine how many hundreds of pounds are spent, wasted in meetings. So a mastermind is not a mastermind unless there's accountability.
Yeah.
But in true secret sauce style, it's not just about the accountability. And you said something in our mastermind last week. You used the phrase,
what gets measured.
What's measured is managed, right? And to extend that, what gets measured but then reported is managed exponentially, right? So if you think about it, the source here is about not just about telling people what you're going to do, but then coming back next time, telling them what you did. So yes, we can record our accountabilities, but if we do nothing about that, then the next month you just come back in and say, my accountabilities still are. Whereas if you come in and report on what you've done, now what you've got is the peer pressure, if you will, of 9 other business owners holding you accountable and saying, well, why didn't you do that then, Steve? Is that because you set yourself an unrealistic target? Is it because you've really not shown any commitment between last meeting and this meeting to get that accountability done? And when you're put in that position where your colleagues ask you, not from the perspective of judgment, but of the perspective of genuine need to help or desire to help, they're asking you those questions because they want to challenge you and to help you grow. And so there's the 360 degree here, is creating those tasks, accountabilities as we call them, but then measuring constantly how we are meeting up to those challenges we set ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, and then if you like, that reminds me of the big thing. Loads of people misunderstand the difference between events and processes.
Yeah.
So that summit is an event for us. Happens 4 times a year. And in itself, can be meaningless. But it's the process that goes on between those events. And collectively, the other aspects of the Renegade Mastermind, the things like daily contact with your group members, the weekly one-to-ones, sorry, the weekly coaching calls, coaching and mentoring calls, the monthly one-to-ones, the accountability sessions, all of those things collectively and alongside the mastermind then create that process rather than the event. And that's your secret sauce, but absolutely throughout the entire thing is the accountability, is saying we're going to do things and following through and getting them done. And we do that because the last thing any business owner with self-respect wants is his colleagues, his peers, seeing him or her as a person who's not going to do what they say they're going to do.
It's funny, Dave, because you know, again, going back to the conversation I had with a friend of mine, again, I said a business owner. In fact, a very successful business owner who sold his business for 17 million quid, so he didn't do bad. But it's difficult for everybody not to see it. It just sounds like a bunch of guys getting together for 3 days, bitching about, you know, the crap that's going on in their business and what's going on in the world today. And it's so far removed from that.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. But look, I can see why the perception is that.
Yeah.
Because, and again, somebody mentioned to me, I think it was someone on a group, said it's like group counselling. Well, it's not. It's nothing like that. It's all focused on what's happening now, and where do you want to be, and how you're going to get there.
Yes.
Rather than a counselling is about taking an event that happened in the past, making sense of it to understand where you were, why you are where you are today. So it's far from that, and it's, you just look at some of the changes in people, and as I say, everybody has challenges, and we talk about challenges all the time, but they're not all just business challenges.
No,
it could be personal challenges.
Yep.
You know, and I would never ever obviously get into specifics, but I know some of the guys won't mind me sharing some of the different, you know, different things that we've helped as the group. You know, remember James Van Roosel, when we first got together, he was a victim of his own success, so busy, but had a massive aversion to taking on staff. Mm. Remember? He was like, and everybody could see it, and he was saying, you know, my time is constrained, I can't get this particular product launched,
yep.
I can't get this done, I can't get that done. And the first person I said, you need to take on a member of staff. And now, he's got 2 of the guys, and then you've got 2 staff,
yep.
And his office is in San Francisco, and he's just taken on 2 more. So, all of a sudden, and the realization, like he was this week, he was, oh my God, my VA is the best thing I've ever done. And, you know, it's kind of, when you hear it again, it was obvious to someone listening to him that's what was needed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't obvious to him who was actually going through that process at the time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Then you had Dino. Dino, who's had 300% increase in turnover in 2 years. That comes with his own... That comes with its problems.
Yeah.
So when he's talking about problems about managing a cash flow, funding for the business, what systems and processes needed in place to fuel that growth, what better people to talk into than people have already gone through it before?
Absolutely.
Rather than going down to the pub and saying to somebody, I've had 300% growth, how can I manage it? And someone who's never experienced that before giving you the advice.
Mm.
He has someone like Ian Stewart or yourself who have grown businesses massively and then exited them or continue to work in those businesses. You can see it all the time. Someone like Gav, who had the retail outlet, who was fantastic at online marketing, was trying to move everything online, but the thing was holding him back was the retail store.
Yeah.
But it took us 2 years, you know, it was such an emotional tie to the retail store.
Mm.
Because he'd been there since he's 14 years of age.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he closed the retail store eventually after Christmas in January. I've never seen him so annoyingly happy. I'm used to seeing Gav, you know, so frustrated with the retail side. And this time he was whistling. he was happy. Never seen him so happy. And then, so those are kind of business related. But then look at someone like Darren, who has managed to be very successful in business and managed to kind of extract himself from the business after work, as he said, 25 years of being first in, last out.
Yeah.
And if you remember rightly, I mean, it wasn't business related, because I think Darren wouldn't mind me saying, he is set up now. He's good. He hasn't got the pressures of financial pressures that some of us still have. So his was trying to come to terms with the fact that he didn't need to be in the office every day.
Yeah.
So it was kind of having a group of people to tell him, actually, do you know what? It's okay not to go in on a Monday and go ride your motorcycle or go for a walk or read a book. And to give him that approval. So that was more personally related to Darren, you know, about his reading and things like that. And, you know, for someone like Darren to say, last year I had my first summer ever, you know, since I was 14, 15, I had my first summer off in 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
By God, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And even this time, you're saying, I'm not going back in. But he wouldn't have been able to make that jump of, if you like, allowing himself that time if it hadn't been for the counsel of the group.
Mm.
And I use the word counsel delicately there, but
it's a good I want to pick up on that if I can, Steve. So the word counsel and the word therapy, because you mentioned earlier some people would look at this process,
but they do though, Dave, don't they? They must say to you as well, they do say, oh, it's like, sounds like therapy.
Yep.
Sounds like counselling.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you old guys in here doing, but moaning about everything and just getting pissed? so far from that. And in the end, because everybody talks about it, you kind of lose the will. You think, oh, what's the point? Because you know the person that's telling you has got no idea what you're talking about whatsoever.
Yeah.
First of all, they don't even run a business. Or if they do run a business, they bitch and moan about the things that somebody could really help them with anyway. But they have no concept of trying to put something in place to change what's happening in their business today.
Yeah.
So you're wasting your breath anyway by trying to explain. So when they say to me, oh, sounds like, you know, load of blokes getting together, getting pissed for 3 days and just talking about crap. Yeah, fella, crack on, no problem. I just don't even bother trying to justify it anymore.
Yeah.
But there's other people, like I was with one of my customers last week, who was well-read, he likes his self-development, you know, he's keen to put, and he runs a dental practice, which I have never seen the likes of. Honestly, it's the culture within the organisation is fantastic. And why? Because it comes from, he's open-minded, he's trying to learn. So when he asks me, then I can go into more detail, because it's of interest.
Yeah.
He's actually really interest to it. And, you know, 80% of business owners will not fit into the process because they don't want to fit in the process. It would be perfect for every business owner, but most people not doing it.
We know, Steve, that I think it's fair to say that anyone still listening is probably the 20%.
You mean people listen?
Now and again, they do. They rarely listen to me. But fortunately, because there's a second voice here, there's a chance that somebody might still be listening. And I think when people are engaged enough to still be listening at this point, then the chances are they realize that they do need to be in a mastermind environment. So I think we can safely say anything we say from here on in is probably going to fall on fertile ground. We've already lost the guys who are already seeing this area as therapy rather than counsel. And I don't mean counseling, because I think that's very, very similar. Counseling and therapy, very similar processes. Both have their place, mind you. And I wouldn't criticize either of those processes. In fact, many of us need that in our lives from time to time. I think for me, even if it were therapy, right, I'd say business owners need that, as I just said. From time to time, people need it, right? Now, we tend not to, what is it the male psyche does, right? The male psyche says, what? Therapy? My God, that's only for lunatics. That's only for people with serious problems. So they shy away from it.
Sound like Tony Soprano.
Well, yeah, I probably look like Tony Soprano most of the time. I believe that business owners need to understand that they have to have opportunities to share the issues they've got. But as business owners, we tend to be brash. We tend to be, whether you're male or female, right? You feel a certain amount of tension around sharing your fallibilities, right? We don't want to share our weaknesses. We don't want to ask questions of people, because to do so admits you don't know the answer yourself. And when you do that, you limit the opportunity for your own growth. If you're not, what is it people say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So we need to be putting ourselves into uncomfortable situations. We need to be finding ourselves in rooms where we are not the smartest person. In fact, better if we are the least smart person in the room, because then we get to ask questions of those around us without fear of judgment. And that's what this environment is. That's what Renegades does. We are putting people in the room that, with experience and knowledge and wisdom, they've been there, they've seen it, they've got the t-shirt, and we are filling groups of people who are ready to help others and do so in a positive, like-minded, non-judgmental way.
Yeah, I think I've just written down here, actually, because I was just making notes as you were talking there, but everybody, and the power of the process, everybody there last week, everybody, is today, apart from me and you, because we're on this podcast, is doing things or getting things in line to benefit their business, their staff, and their families.
Yes.
And themselves.
Mm. Well, we saw that over the weekend, didn't we? The interaction over the weekend in our personal forum was incredible.
Yeah.
Especially given that it was an international rugby weekend, of course. But there were people already working on their accountabilities the day after the summit. And that's a signal that that you're in the right group, right? Yeah. You're in a group of proactive, not reactive. Yeah. Although we do, yes, we have to react in certain circumstances, but these are guys who are proactive.
Yeah.
They are ready the minute that the whole event is over. They are ready to move to the next step and follow through on those challenges. And not only follow through, but report. So we were getting instances over the weekend where people were telling us what they were doing and how they were doing it and when they were complete.
Yeah.
And one great example Gav posted this morning was that an accountability he'd set himself on Friday, he followed through over the weekend and made a sale within 60 minutes of putting that...
30 minutes, actually.
30 minutes, there you go. 30 minutes after putting the item up online, he makes his first sale. Now, without the accountability process, without the masterminding process, he would never have had an opportunity. How many times, Steve, have you had a conversation with yourself?
All the time. But I can't tell you what it's about, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's the point, though, isn't it? Because we have those conversations, but because there's no one else around us to stimulate and challenge that thought, then we end up convincing ourselves that our original thought was either right or wrong. And what is it that, I forget who said this, but whether you're right, whether you think you're right or you think you're wrong, then you're probably right anyway.
And another thing, Dave, I've tried to relate it to things that I've done before and the difference then, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've attended seminars.
Yep.
Listen to people speak.
Yep.
Read self-development books, you know. And as soon as you put the book down, or as soon as you leave the conference or the venue, you're like, this amazing. It's going to change my life. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Then you implement a couple of little things, maybe, and give it a bit of oxygen for a couple of weeks. And then you flip back into old habits, and it's gone. It's dead. And you don't bother anymore. But in this particular instance, you all discuss something that's relative to you, and everybody feeds back into that. And then for the next 12 weeks, everybody's asking me how I'm getting on with it.
Yeah.
So there's no opportunity to flip back into old ways.
Mm.
You kind of, and you mentioned peer pressure before in a good way, because there is peer pressure in a good way. But again, if I genuinely came back into the room in 12 weeks' time and said, guys, I haven't done those, they wouldn't be grief. They wouldn't be a nagging or a why haven't you done. They would be like a genuine interest into why, what happened,
what's held you back?
When, you know, is there anything we can do to help you get out of that, you know?
Yeah.
And also the ability to get to be challenged in a positive way on some of your thinking that you're trying to do to put into some of these opportunities or to put into some of these challenges. I got a friend of mine who's he's also a customer, and he'll always ask you a question, okay, and he'll word it kind of, you know, I've been thinking about this thing and I think I'm going to do this, what do you think? And you'll tell him genuinely what you think. But if it doesn't align with what he's already made the decision in his head, he'll shoot you down and say, no, I think you're wrong. Well, in that case, why ask me for the opinion in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, so if you already know the answer, just crack on and do it. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It's like as if he wants somebody to affirm his idea.
Yeah.
In order for it to be, well, it wasn't my idea, it was Steve's idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's kind of passed the accountability to me to say, well, when I run it past you, you said it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, when I said it was a bad idea, and then you said, I think you're wrong, I think it is a good idea, and then you went off and did it anyway. So he will kind of ask maybe 7 or 8 people until he finds one person that agrees with him.
Yeah.
And then says, right, I'll go with it now because so-and-so agreed with me.
Yeah.
You're the 7 people are bloody idiots. You haven't got a clue what you're talking about. But in this process, we have, you know, you have the ability to, if, for example, Dave came into the room and said, well, I've got this particular challenge and I'm seeing it this way, we can actually flip that back up to Dave and say, well, actually, Dave, I think you're looking at it a little bit in a wrong light. What about if you looked at it this way? What about if you took this spin on it? And it has the opportunity then, you know, to go to a different place to get a better result, really. And I think, you know, it certainly allows you to make sense of the noise in your head. I got loads of noise in my head. Loads.
Phew.
It's not just me, is it?
I think we do, as business owners, there's the noise is incredible. You know, we all have the noise, Steve. Look, everywhere we look, think about it, right? You get up in the morning, what do? Check your phone. It's habitual, right?
Yeah.
Most people I know get up out of bed. I know some people who actually don't even get out of bed. They lean across, they pick up whatever device they've left.
Why are you looking at me like that for?
I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at myself, actually, yeah. Right? I'm looking, I feel I'm talking into a mirror.
Ah, that's why you smile. So Dave Dean doesn't even get out of bed. He picks up his phone and looks at his emails.
Sometimes. I have now
only when it's got a Y on the end of the day. Is that right?
No, I've stopped leaving my mobile phone in the bedroom. But I do have an iPad that I used to read, with the Kindle app on it, but I've made the mistake of leaving the mail app on that device, which means that occasionally I can look over and just say, I wonder if that email has arrived. Yeah. And of course, what you do, that's the fatal mistake, because the minute you do that, the email you wanted to find may not have arrived, but the 300 others that have arrived capture your attention.
It's funny that, Dave, but I've got an iPad too,
yeah.
But I don't put mail on it.
Yeah.
Well, I actually, in fairness, I did exactly what you used to do. What do you do now? I had mail on it.
Yeah.
I had social media on it.
Mm.
And I found myself, before I went to sleep at night, looking at emails.
Yeah.
And then looking at social media.
Yeah.
You know, and so I took them all off. I took all the email off. So really, all I use my iPad for is, I may take notes on it, but for me it's Kindle app. Yeah, so I read. I've got a Sky Sports app on there, so I look at that. But I literally won't put anything work related on it because I know it. Otherwise, I'll do exactly the same as what you do. Is go over and look at my emails first thing in the morning.
Yeah, but how many? This is what I'm saying, right? Noise. You know, you spoke into noise a moment ago, and I think that it's endemic, right? We probably get more points of interaction in a day than people would get in a lifetime, say 100 years ago, 50 years ago even, you know? Go back 15 or even 20 years, pre-Facebook, pre-Google, pre-LinkedIn, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever, Instagram, whatever social media pane of choice you have. Pre those days, your distractions were probably limited to your hard mail coming through the post and your emails, which didn't have the ability these days to interrupt your life constantly, right? So you take the interruptions we get on a daily basis from all of the social media and mail stuff. Add to that the interactions in your workplace where people are constantly coming at you left, right and center with questions, issues, problems, challenges, opportunities. Then add all of that to the your customers, your suppliers, who are also interacting with you, whether it be by mobile phone, by landline, all those emails. So you get home and your brain's fried.
Which is why the last 3 days last week, great, you didn't have any of that.
Exactly.
So I literally, it was so busy. People say, what you do, Vaughn? I'm so busy. I mean, as you said, you're up at 6:30, which is, you know, late, whatever, but you're down for breakfast at 7, you're in the room for 8. And as you said, we literally only get let out to eat. You know, we're like the animals in the zoo there. We only let out to eat at certain periods of time. Top up on the coffees or waters, whatever is your poison of choice. And then by the time we're finishing, we're going straight in for evening meal.
Mm.
You know, I'd say 7, 7:15. And then you sit down, you have your evening meal, you carry on the conversation in little pockets, really, because you're around the table, can't be shouting all around the table, manners and all that, etiquette, Dave. And, you know, so you carry on till maybe 9:09. I wasn't ringing my wife or my business partner, really, until like 10 o'clock in the night.
Yeah.
So all those distractions are gone.
Yep.
You know? And it's funny, actually, because I wrote down, you know, people say a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, of course, if I've got a problem, I can divide up by 10 now, can't I?
Yep.
So it's in a tenth of the problem that it was before. But I'm going to say, in this world where everybody talks about 10x in everything, well, every opportunity that I share in the mastermind is 10x'd. Because I will come in and say, I've had this opportunity, what do you think, guys?
Mm.
And by the time it's gone round, it's in a different place.
Yeah.
I just find that, you know, the clarity of thinking that you're able to get from these events. And I'm quite conscious that I don't want, you know, we want everybody to join a Renegades Mastermind process, but I don't want it to appear a sales pitch, because that's not what it's about. I'm just trying to tell everybody that if they have an opportunity to be part of something like that, whether it's Renegade or something else, it doesn't matter, but their business will benefit loads from the clarity, the quality of thinking that they get.
You're right, it will. I think, though, it's a really, really good point you're raising here, and we should speak into it, because it's easy for people to get caught up in the positive nature that we're speaking in at the moment, and the positive aspects of being in a mastermind. But you know what? If you're not of the right frame of mind going into it, it can actually backfire on you, because first of all, you need to be of a mind, in a mind frame, that you are prepared to open your mind to opportunity and to open your mind to being wrong. You pointed out earlier, right, about the guy you know who really asks people questions, not because he genuinely wants to hear alternatives, but he wants to find the largest number of people who agree with him that he can, to make his decision that he's probably already made.
Oh, he's definitely already made it, yeah.
So I think what I'm trying to say here is, I guess, if you already have that mindset, you can't go into a mastermind, because it'll crush you'll end up crushing yourself. But also your defensive attitude, the attitude of, oh yeah, tried that, oh yeah, yeah, I thought of that. You know, if you're going to dismiss all of the doors that your colleagues will open, then you're going to waste not only your time, but you'll waste their time. And very quickly they'll recognize that, and the dynamic in the group will change, and you'll very quickly be finding yourself in a position where you won't feel comfortable. So for that reason, I'd say, if you're a negative person, if you're a been there, seen it, done it, don't really need to be told by someone else kind of person, then this is not an environment you should be in. Of course, the obvious things are, you need to be able to afford it as well. It does cost money. But affording it, what I mean by affording it, is not only the money, but the time aspect. Because you do spend a lot of time working on, not in, your business. And if you can't afford that time, because your business is entirely wrapped around you, and you can't afford the financial aspect of being in the group, then again, perhaps it's not the right time for you to be in it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in it. I'm saying you have to make a conscious decision. Look at Dean, right? When Dean made a decision to come into this group, he will probably tell you, as he did in an article in the magazine, that in his mind, he was ready. He knew that being in a mastermind group was going to take your phrase, 10x him and his business. But time-wise, he was very poor in terms of time, availability, The business was growing. He didn't have staff around him. He knew he was going to struggle. Financially, he didn't have the money that he needed to have to join the group. So he sold his Porsche. He sold his Porsche. He took on an extra member of staff so he could delegate a load of the things he was doing to that member of staff. And he also talked to the rest of the staff and said, I'm going to be out of the business a lot more than I ever have been. You're going to have to help me.
Yeah.
Now, that's a level of commitment that few people will consciously make.
Yeah.
So again, you know, if somebody's going to join this group, they need to understand the commitment they're making.
Yeah.
And understand the implication on their time and their resources.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I was going to say was, it doesn't matter that I've got a great group of people that I can go and talk to these things about, you know, the opportunities, the issues, whatever you want to call it, challenges, we say, rather than issues. But nobody's going to solve the challenges for me.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to maximize the opportunity for me.
Nope.
The only person who can do it is me.
Yes.
So the group allows me to leverage the people within that group, and for me to say, this is the challenge I'm having, this is the opportunity I see. And the amount of times we go through the group and someone says, I had exactly that challenge 2 years ago, 10 years ago, in Dave's case 50 years ago, but I had that exact challenge and this is what worked for me, so I can shortcut. So eventually, potentially, I could have come up with that solution myself.
Yeah.
Maybe after another 18 months of trial and different things to try and get it right,
yeah,
and the pain and the hassle to get to that actual point,
yeah,
would have taken me a lot longer. Mm. I have the ability to go back to work on a Monday and put into practice something that actually worked for somebody else,
yeah,
on exactly the problem that I would, or the issue or the opportunity that I was having at that particular time.
It's a great point, because that just that in itself, Steve, tells you that even though there's a cost to being in the group, that cost ends up paying for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's
time again.
That was one of the biggest things for me when I came and joined the first group. I give you 27 reasons why I couldn't join, and one of them was financial.
Mm.
But in reality, the financial part of it, it becomes a negative cost.
Yeah,
as long as you keep on top of it and you understand that it's not always in a monetary cost.
Yeah.
It could be time, it could be, you know, it could be anything that you implement that actually doesn't give you a direct financial payback, but it might free up, you know, a week of your time over a 6 month period.
Absolutely.
But you know, a week of my time is what? 2.5, 3, 4, 5 grand, whatever it is, whatever I charge myself out at.
Yeah.
Well, that could be automatically paying for my Renegades membership.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, I just hope that people get an understanding of the fantastic experience of being part of a group where everybody has only got a vested interest in your success. That's unbelievable when you think about it. You know, that everybody in that group only wants Steve Matthews to be the best Steve Matthews possible. There's no backstab or you're telling you one thing and meaning another. There's none of that. We'll knock him off his perch, or, you know, these guys that I'm with only want to make my perch even higher. You know,
yeah,
they're trying to elevate me all the time. So if I go in and say I want a holiday home in Barbados, they're telling me, when is it happening? How are you going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to say to me, so stupid, why do you want a holiday home in Barbados? Why? It's got hurricanes. Yeah. It's got a rainy season. Yeah. Yeah. You don't like the beach all the time. You can't drink rum punches forever. Yeah.
Half the time they're thinking, so how can I invest in Steve's holiday home in Barbados?
How can I get 2 weeks timeshare? Yeah. That's what they're all thinking. But, so, I mean, the quality of that group then, You know, so if anything that comes up, it doesn't have to be then on the day. We talk about it through the forums. You know, I'll bell the boys, see what's going on. And if, like, Ash last week, ring him this week, see how he's getting on. It's just such a great group to be part of. And I'm sure there'll be others in a similar vein starting up in an area near you.
There will indeed. We will be we'll certainly be marketing for Platinum Groups, the next Platinum Group, very shortly. And there will be an opportunity to join a Platinum Group, which of course, Steve, you will be leading.
I'm the leader of the pack, yes. Vroom, vroom, again.
Yeah, let's not go down the Gary Glitter route.
No.
Not
again, definitely not. But yeah, you know, that'd be, I can't wait, actually. It'd be really good. It'd be lovely to get my own group with as many people in there as we can. 8 or 9 people in there would be fantastic.
Well, you know, we spoke a little earlier, and I mentioned that we already have five people who have expressed desire to join that group. So you know that economically the group financially won't work unless there's 6. So we're just waiting for one more person to make that that leap, and that group can start. So we'll be going out very shortly with an invitation. Nothing too over the top. There won't be some massive marketing campaign. We'll simply be opening the door, and current group members and contacts of theirs will have an opportunity to come into that environment. So watch this space, as they say.
Nice. So what's on for the rest of the day, Dave?
Rest of today, well,
more Renegades, eh?
We've got a bit of a challenge in one of our businesses. Darren and I, one of our businesses is in the process of an acquisition. So that goes on today. We need to make
never
sure.
Never go smoothly, Dave.
They never do. There's one or two hiccups right at the last minute, as they often happen. You think you've got all the ducks in a row, and one of them decides to fly off. Yeah. So
the lawyers are busy putting back in the
we place. Are
with nets.
That's
up.
Right.
The lawyers have got the nets up.
We are. We're trying to drag that one duckling back, and hopefully that will be put to bed today. So we're due to close on that deal on Wednesday. So with a bit of luck, that'll be done today.
Kind of finishes off a podcast nicely in the fact of, if anybody's going through an acquisition, they have somebody who's done it before.
We certainly have.
Perfect. Take care. See you soon.
All the best. Living like we're renegades,
renegades. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to the Renegades podcast. Being an entrepreneur is a lonely place, and all we want here at Renegades is for you to achieve the success that you want and to live the life that you deserve. Loads more information is available on the website, 729renegades.com. That's 729renegades.com. If you like the podcast, please like it, rate it, share it. Get in touch through the website, and see you again next time. And I say, hey, 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 living like we're renegades, hey, hey, hey.